Well, I want to start by saying good morning to you this morning, and hope you're able to join in with us. And it does look like the sun is starting to peek out a little bit there. It looks pretty good over here, sun-wise, if you will. Road's still covered, what have you, and still very cold. And I want you to know we always do take changing service, calling service off, or going live. We do take that very serious, and looking at safety of the folks in the church and what have you, trying to get out and everything. But we pray and trust that you're in, and that you're safe, and just really thankful that you're joining in with us. I see people joining in there. It's good to see that, and just want you to know how much I appreciate you and what you mean to us, me and my family. You mean the world to us, our church, and then also any other listeners that come in. And it's just a good way to get the gospel out. We will have a time of prayer a little bit later this morning. I know there's several objects of prayer to be in prayer for. Also those that are just had procedures in the church and getting home and what have you, and some that have been very sick, and we're praying for them and going through treatments and different things. So there's always much to be in prayer for and to be in consideration of. But if you'd like to, let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. I want to go to just two or three places, maybe three places. I have some other scripture I want to read, but maybe about three places for us to check in this morning and look at. And I'm very thankful for God's word and how he can direct us through his word if we're willing truly to listen to him and what he has to say in his word. And also I'm thankful for the example that Jesus Christ is. You know, if you're trying to show somebody how to do something, it's one thing to tell them, and it's another thing to show them also. And that's one thing that I find very interesting when we read and study through the New Testament, the Gospels, and the New Testament, is how Jesus came, God came in the form of Jesus, and he walked on this earth to show us what the expectation was. You can read it in black and white in the law, but you also have it in the flesh and bone and blood of Jesus Christ, of what the expectation really is. And, you know, sometimes I guess we want to get to the why it is we do what we do, and I think maybe for people it could be different reasons. I think if you can find out what motivates a person, you can read into a lot about that person, what their motivation truly is. And our motivation is very important in what we do, why we do what we do. This morning, the message is entitled Walk Worthy. As I was reading, I guess I've had about three messages yesterday. I studied out one I'd had for a little while and just not had the liberty, I guess, to go ahead and preach that, but then also studied one yesterday morning and then continued study into last night. And what was interesting is I would skim through some of the different New Testament church epistles, the overlying verse that I kept seeing was walk worthy, walk worthy. I don't know. I didn't check how many times that those two words or that phrase might be in the Word of God, but I was able to find three places there and see what it's actually talking about. So that's what I want us to focus on this morning. Is when we start out here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll just go ahead and start reading this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 to get us started. And it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your many blessings, God, that you give to us, and just how you look after us, God, and take care of us. And God, I sincerely pray and ask this morning for your guidance. that you'd help me, Lord, to say what you'd have me to and the manner you'd have me to. God, it's just important when we follow, we look at your word and we attempt to follow it and want to follow it and apply it to our lives, that we do that with an open heart, a correct heart. God, not anything in the flesh, Lord, but trusting in the Spirit in the context of what you're telling us. God, I just pray that you go with us and help us. Help me this morning, Lord. Help our church. Help those who are listening. Help those who may be struggling in their walk or going through their walk, Lord, but want to do it more fervently with you, God, more consistently, whatever that case may be there, Lord. We pray for them this morning. We pray for our young people in our church, our couples. God, we miss seeing them in our class and the young ones, Lord. We miss seeing them, God, and those, Lord, that are lost in our church and round about us. God, we pray for them. God, I ask that you please just keep a hedge around them, Lord, and show them their need of salvation and help us, God, to be the witness, to say, to do what you'd have us do, God, to be the light for them and for our community around us, God. Lord, I pray you go with me again today, Lord. Just help us. Go with me. Help me to have a clear thought, clear speak, Lord, that your word would go forth, God, the way you'd have it to. God, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when we start out here in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll see what it's talking about, walking worthy, three different contexts or three different texts, I guess you could say, and just the little variance in each one, but they all come back to the same meaning, the same person. And so I want us to see that. But this first part that it's talking about here is for us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And that's not only talking to preachers, it's talking to all those who are saved. Walking worthy. Walk, that means to act or to be in motion. Then when you go on being worthy, I think that is a strong word that we see here. It says deserving, possessing worth or excellence of qualities, to be suitable. Most of us, most Christians, I'll put it this way, most Christians, humble people, would say that I'm not worthy. When you think about the Lord's Supper, it talks about those who take unworthily. It's dangerous to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Then you would, the next question you would ask yourself, well, then who is worthy? And what does that mean, worthy? How could I ever be worthy? How could I ever be deserving? How could I ever be deserving of the vocation that I'm called, that you're called? And then the vocation, it also means here, it means a calling by the will of God, a summons or an occupation. So I just want to stop there for just a second as we start this and talking about our vocation. I was thinking about it like this and working the job that I have. Why do I do that? Why do I do that job? Or why do I take that job seriously? Do I take that job seriously? Do you take your job seriously? Let's kind of start right there, talking about a vocation, use this as an illustration. You know, I think about my work. Why do I do that? One, I do enjoy what I do, working with others and getting to work with a lot of young people and maybe try to help them and mentor them and just look at the job that I have to do. There's a few different things that you look at, but what is dangerous is if we don't take our job serious, if we don't take it like it's important, like some of the details. I tell my team that is where the trouble lies, is in making sure that the details are handled or taken care of. I think sometimes it would be like, well, you know, this isn't that important. This is a small thing. And if I don't do this, then it's really not going to mean anything. And so I'm not going to worry about doing that. And I'm just going to, you know, skim over it. The problem is, if you take that approach to things, then it's easier the next time to overlook that and then maybe overlook something else. Again, it is very important for us to focus on the details. I tell my guys, and talking to them and have a great team to work with, it's like, let's always focus on these little things and make sure they're done right. And when you focus on all those little things, and as you go through, that really helps us for things to not be an issue in a bigger thing. I think that is a good illustration of what walking worthy is and what it's mean deserving. Paying attention to the detail of what we're doing. You know, in the workplace, whatever it is you might be doing, you know, I want you to think about that. It's what we do, how we spend our time daily is very important. As the world watches us, as the world watches Christians, how we carry ourselves and what we do, Where we spend our time most is really how people will probably define us. If we take our job seriously, no matter how minuscule it may seem, what that task might be or what that that one thing that might appear to be small, but if you do that right and you do all those things right, then people will see that. I mean, that's a good thing. But most importantly, you'll see it is what God sees that matters. It's not about doing things to be seen of man. It's about doing things because it's the right thing. It's the why, and doing those things. But here, again, it goes on, Paul talking here, and I want to hurry along to get to each one of these. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Thinking about being a Christian, walking worthy of that, walking deserving of that. Number one, what you're going to see here is in relation to other believers. Walking worthy in relation to other believers, that we're truly helping those around us and also those in our church. I know I probably talk a lot about helping or what have you, but when we look at Jesus as the example in the New Testament church, the 33 and a half years that he walked, when you go through the Gospels, you see that's what he spent his time doing, helping those who were in trouble, helping those who were in need. He didn't go to those who were whole. He went to those who were broken or needed something, and he tried to help them, and he did. And a lot of times it did rely on people's faith, because, again, it does say in many many mighty works he did not do because of their unbelief. It's always important for us to remain a believing people, a trusting people in what the Lord can do for us and what he will be willing to do through us if we're the vessels we're supposed to be. Verse number two, you're going to see here, if you've been following our study in the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to see a lot of these mentioned again here. This is the character of the believer and how you and I are supposed to carry ourselves. It says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And it also goes on in verse number three to say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's talking about how you and I are supposed to work with one another, our behavior with each other, how we're supposed to be meek and long-suffering and not just maybe try to argue a point. Maybe I feel strongly about something and I want to argue that point, but not focused on that as much as being willing to listen to your brothers and sisters and listening to what they say and hear their point of view. And, you know, maybe collectively you can come to an agreement with some things. That's not talking about, debating the Word of God. It's talking about how we treat one another. Word of God is settled. I know that, and I think you know that too. But our behavior one to another, people are going through different things, experiencing different things in their life, maybe some going through hardships. And so that's something we need to be aware of and really think of as our brothers and sisters. But what this is really talking about in our behavior also is reminding us that we, as the body of Christ, are one body. We are to be in unity. I think that is something that the devil is really trying to stir up in our churches, in our community, in our world. If you look around, if you look from local things that are going on all the way up to more severe things that's going on maybe worldwide, is the disruption of unity. Everything has a point of division about it. And I know that that is of the devil, but what he's saying here is, remember, love one another, be forbearing, forgiving, meek, humble, not just argumentative, not in the flesh. I'll use that word there, use that term, but to be together in one, because it goes on in verse number four, it says here, there's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God the Father of all, who was above all and through all and in you all. He's reminding us that the believer has the inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you know, remember, you know, why do you do what you do? Talking about vocation, why do I do what I do? One, I enjoy it and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people I work with and I get to spend my time with. But also, it is because I need the benefits that it brings. I need the income that it brings, things like that. You know, I've got bills to pay. You have bills to pay and things. And so there's the why. There's the why. You need employment to take care of your needs and what have you, and to cover those things. And hopefully you can find one that you can enjoy doing. So it's important that you do that in the right spirit, in the right way. We spend so much time at work, it would be a shame to not be able to try to enjoy that or do it right and remember the why. And what I mean by that is thinking about our testimony, the importance of following God. Everything we do is going to be looked at or viewed by other people. And they're wanting to know if you or I are the real deal or not. And just all the little details that we do really shows who we are in the whole. And it is important. But we'll go on further to see, remember the why we do things. If you look with me, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You see the first part there in relation to other believers, but I wanted you to see here also what this is talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 10 through 12. And this is something that it say right here. Let's see what it says here. It says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you, you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom." This is in relation to our Creator, our behavior in relation to the Creator. Number one, you see, in relation to other believers. Number two, what I'm seeing here in 1 Thessalonians is in relation to our Creator. It's our behavior. It's how we act. It's how we act in, with other people and our witness, how we witness to others in our testimony. He's automatically calling out here saying, ye are witnesses. That's what we are. If you are a believer in Christ, you've trusted him, you and I are witnesses, and the most important thing that we can do is share the gospel with other people. If our behavior isn't matching up to what the Bible says we are supposed to be, our witness is diminished. Our witness is hurt, and that's what's holding back. And this here you'll see as a charge, as a reminder, your witnesses and God also, how holily and justly, how important this calling is, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. Paul, very vocal with this. I've seen it in a few different places. He's very bold in how he talks to other people, believers or not. He's talking here to the church at Thessalonica, but he took his witness very serious. He took his testimony very serious. I think he was probably a very maybe non-matter-of-fact type of person, but he wanted you to know that he took his calling serious. And the work of the Lord is very serious. It's not something to take lightly or to joke away or anything like that. We see here also, verse 11, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." It's talking about the correction here, as a father would or should deal with their children here, and how he exhorted them, how he lifted them up, and how he comforted them, and how he charged them, and how he encouraged them to do what was right, and teach them to do what. And again, verse number 12, "that ye would walk worthy of God." That's a strong statement. You think about who God is, how large he is, and who he really is. How are you and I to walk worthy of him? It's our daily walk. Just walking worthy, who hath called you into the kingdom and glory. Again, that you, I want us to see this too. I was thinking about this, our behavior, but also Acts 5:29. It says this here, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." If you remember this account here in the Bible, what took place is they were preaching the gospel. And that was in opposition of the scribes, the Pharisees, and what have you. And so they were against them, and they were demanding them to not preach in the name of Jesus any longer, and not talk about forgiveness of sins, and to not preach these things. And they were against it. The Jewish people at that time were very against it. They held to what they believed in the law and what the law said. And so when these people came, I mean, they were literally turning the world upside down, and they fought that. And so you see, they had a choice. The apostles here together, Peter and the other apostles, they answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. It's, again, our behavior. It's not a matter of trying to please people. It's a matter of trying to help people. That's what he's making mention of here, the importance of helping one another. And it never overrides what God would have us to do. I thought about this too, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What God says, not just what we think and feel. If you go back and you remember that situation there and how they acted and how Saul, he was commanded, God commanded him to take away, to kill, to utterly destroy everyone in that battle. Everyone in opposition in that battle was to die. There was not supposed to be one goat left. There was not supposed to be any animals left. You say, preacher, that's harsh. Yes, but that's what God commanded to be done at that time. And what Saul did at this point, he got there, he got in the battle, was winning the battle, and then he saw some of these animals and some of the goods that were left over after the battle, the spoils, if you will, of the battle. And you know what he did? He kept them. He kept them, and he brought those back. And then what happened is when they asked him, what's this sound of bleeding that I hear? Did I not tell you to utterly destroy everything? And, you know, he said, well, I thought we could use this. It's not what we think. It's what God says. It's in being in obedience to him. It's in service to him. When we read what the Word of God says, we're supposed to follow that. If the Word of God does not change us, there is something wrong. I want to say this. I thought about this. Woke up several times last night thinking about things, about this message, about walking worthy and what it means. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 15 minutes or 15 years. If we don't read the Word of God and find something in there that causes us to change, then something's not right. And you say, how can you say that? How can you say that? Well, are you right? Are you right all the time? Are you always right? Or is there something in God's Word that you could glean and that you could grow from and that you could learn from? And when we as believers, when we find that, it's supposed to change our life. That tells me that the Word of God truly is a living, breathing document. The church is a living, breathing organism. I think sometimes it's maybe seen as an organization, but it's not. It's an organism. It's a living body. And as we grow, we learn things. As we grow in God's Word, we know more than what we did yesterday, or we should. And those things should change us. Those things should transform us by the renewing of our mind, the Bible says. Also, it should be things in there that we're always open to see what God is saying to us. And that's what makes it such an awesome relationship. It's not something stagnant. It's not something that's a stalemate. It's something that the Lord wants us to live and grow with him or through him with the things that we face. And that's what I'm seeing here in relation to our Creator, remembering who our Creator is and what he did for us. And I want to go here also. Let's go to chapter number 1. Colossians 1. I'm sorry if I'm kind of stammering around. I don't mean to. I'm excited about this message, and I just want to pray that it will be a help to our listeners, because it's, again, talking about this here is talking about growth. But number one, we saw our walk, to walk worthy in relation to other believers. Number two, to walk worthy in relation of our Creator. And number three, to walk worthy in relation to our Savior. This is what's being said here, Paul talking to the church at Colossae here. And it says this, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glory, glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's the why. We see this here in relation to our Savior, in relation to the Lord. When I think of the Lord, I think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was willing to go to the cross for you and I. That was the importance, to take what he did so we would have an option, a choice to be able to be translated, to have a different life, to have a better life that he has called for us. And one of the things here that I see is, in thinking about this, to walk worthy of the Lord, I see in Galatians chapter number 1, verses 10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." He's saying here, you're going to have some choices to make in your life. You're going to have some choices to make. I think this came to mind. I think sometimes maybe people think pastors are self-employed or something like that. But I want to tell you wholeheartedly, I am not self-employed. I work for the Lord. One of the things I wrote down here, pastors, preachers are not self-employed. They are called by and for the Lord. That's what I see this calling talking about here, of this calling for the vocation, for the Lord, for God, and for one another. But the importance of what of us following what the Lord would have us to do for him, and taking the time to study in God's Word and reading what it says and making decisions for ourselves and trying to help and work with others. I think we're also reminded, too, 1 Corinthians 7:23. A lot is said about this. It says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men." You know, it would be easy to try to follow the court or the thought of popular opinion, but that is not what Christians are called to do. We are called to study the Word of God and to follow the Word of God, what it says. That's not being self-righteous or anything like that. It's not about being legalistic. I see in the Old Testament how the Jews took that so far. They held to that so much. They took that so far. They were adding to, and that is a problem. You and I are just simply to follow what the Lord already has for us, to learn it, discuss it, and follow it. And just remembering the why, the walking worthy of the Lord. You and I want you to just think about this, walking worthy of him. You and I, we're truly not our own. We are supposed to take on the attributes of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to follow him and take on his attributes. And one of the things that it says here in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, it says, what? There's a question. You know, if you are thinking about things, and I know this is the beginning of a new year. When I think about new beginnings, I get excited about that. Several things I'm looking at for this year that I want to improve upon. I want to do better this year than I did last year. And that's not an empty resolution. It's because of what's in God's Word. And I truly want to follow that. And I think you do too. Thank you for listening in. And I think you do too. But there's the question that's being asked here. He says, what? Know ye not? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's a twofold thing. Glorifying the Lord, not only just in your body, but also in your spirit. It's a two-fold thing that it's talking about here in your body. Taking care of yourself. Not doing things that are unhealthy and that we're not supposed to. And, you know, I've been looking a little bit more seriously at my diet. It's something that, you know, I try to do good, okay? I know some of these things are bad, and I stay away from some of these things. You know, I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke because, you know, that's not good for you. But, you know, there's also foods and things that you can take in that are not good for you, and they will affect you. Those things will affect you physically. And, you know, it's depending upon how serious you want to take those things to see kind of the benefit of it. It's saying, I've been looking at it like this, and I can tell the difference in how I feel physically by what I eat. I can eat real healthy, and it's different sometimes than maybe just kind of what you would do in the moment, what you do quickly. Say if you go through the day without a plan and you get hungry and you're very hungry and you say, well, I need to grab something. That's usually what you'll hear somebody say. I need to grab something. You'll grab the first thing, and then you will do that, and then you'll reap the benefit or the consequences of that. And so you'll either feel good or you'll feel bad. But if you grab something quickly, a lot of times you'll be like, man, I wish I hadn't ate that. I know I was so hungry and I grabbed that, but it wasn't the best choice. So I shouldn't have done that. So you think the next day, well, I need to be prepared. I know I'm going to be hungry. I know that I'm going to need to eat right. So what's the best thing you can do? Be prepared in what you're going to take with you. Maybe take your lunch and eat something that's going to be healthy. So you're ingesting something healthy. You have more control that way. And so you're taking in something good for you. The vitamins and the minerals and the things that you're supposed to take in, they're good for you. So because it took some forethought, not just kind of leaving yourself out there just to see what happens and take it by chance, just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, if you will. Now, here's the thing. You see what it's saying here in these verses. He's reminding us in relation to our Savior to walk worthy of this. So if we're going to take that seriously, then it's going to take some forethought and planning. But it also says in your spirit, what happens is if you don't get up in the morning and you have in the mindset, I need to have my daily balance of the Word of God, I need to take that in, you're going to take something else in and it's going to take the place of it. Now, chances are more likely it's going to be something on social media, something in the news, maybe conversation with somebody else. And if you're not careful, then that's what you're going to ingest. And then you're going to take that in. And later on that day, you're going to be, why did I take that in instead of something good? Now my mind is not in the right place. Now my heart is not in the right place. Now I'm discouraged because of the bad news that I heard, or because of somebody made me mad of what they said, something politically or just something just in general. You see, you take that in, and then now also you're hurting spiritually. What is the Word of God saying? Walk worthy. It says walk deserving. You think about what he intended for you and I when he went to the cross. You think about the last seconds that he had on the cross, those last few minutes, the pain that he was going through, when he was saying, I want my people to be free to worship me. I want them to be free in spirit. I don't want them under the bondage of the law, and I don't want them under the bondage of the world. I want them to be free. And all I'm asking them to do is simply just follow my words and follow my footstep, follow my walk. That's what he was asking us to do. That's what he wants us to do. And again, Corinthians says here, Paul is saying, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? This is, our bodies are an important thing to God. This flesh and blood, this flesh and bone will not inherit the kingdom of God. You and I know that based off of God's word. That's not going to go. We get a new glorified body. But God does intend for us to take care of ourselves physically and spiritually while we're in these bodies on this earth, which is in you. He's reminding us that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, which you have of God. God give us these gifts. This is what God gave us. And ye are not your own. We're not our own just to make our own decisions. It's not, again, like I was saying there about Saul, what he thought. God said, this is what you are to do. It's not that we get together and think up things and say, this is what we're going to do. Well, no, it needs to be based solely on the Word of God and simply do what the Word of God says. And it says here, ye are bought with the price. The price of the life, the body of Jesus Christ is that price. It is free to who all will believe, but it came at a price for Jesus. Jesus gave everything so that you and I could have that freedom, that we would not be bound of the law, that we would not be bound of the world based on this time of grace that we live in. He said, therefore glorify. That means to uplift. That means to make the absolute most that you can of this time that you have. Do what is right. Eat right in this body. Don't partake in sinful acts. You look at the fornication, the lust of the flesh, and things that it's talking about there. He's saying, do not do those things. So, preacher, that's old timey. Well, it's the facts. It's the facts. I just want to share to you this morning. It's the facts and the reality of what it is. Glorify. That means to uplift, uphold, to reverence God in your body and also in your spirit. I'll tell you, just like the foods that we eat, I've noticed this. There's times that if I've really tried to focus on it the last few months or so, really try to focus on it and even kind of gauge myself, I can tell you if I've eaten right or eaten wrong simply based on the way that I feel. I can tell you. It's amazing how a person, if they get in tune with their body, you can know if you've eaten good or not. And good food and good fuel will run you a lot longer than bad fuel will. Bad fuel will leave you bloated and feeling bad, and you saying, "Why did I do that?" And it's the same thing when you fall upon the lust of the flesh. You will feel bad, and why did I do that? That's how that is. It's amazing how all these things come together, and how the Word of God says this here. And you say, "Well, preacher, you know, what am I supposed to do? What's that example?" And walking worthy, preached on this last week and really thought about that. The secret is there is no secret, but talking about the old paths and the walk, there's already a path before us. What are we supposed to follow? What are we supposed to follow? Am I supposed to go back and I'm supposed to look at those 613 laws in the Old Testament? Am I really trying to do that? Because you're saying not to be legalistic and not, we're not under the law. We're not. Well, what am I supposed to follow? How am I supposed to walk worthy? I tell you what you can do. If you go back and you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you look at the Gospels, you look at the 33 and a half years that Jesus walked, and you look at what Jesus did, that is the walk. That is how you and I are supposed to walk worthy today. There is so much in the New Testament epistles that you can read from Paul, and that is how the church is supposed to be governed, how the church is supposed to be maintained. And I don't like to use the word ran, but that is how the New Testament church is supposed to be dealt with and worked through. That's how that work is supposed to go through. And you're not going to find any contradictions. The walk that I'm talking about is the walk that Jesus Christ did while he was here. He's saying, "Preacher, am I really supposed to look at Jesus as the example and follow him and try to do the things that he did?" Yes. You and I don't have the power to heal. You and I don't have the power to do things, and I know that. I know that. That went with the apostolic age. I know that. But I tell you, what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ in walking as he walked, working or trying, being as disciplined as we can to walk the way the Lord Jesus Christ walked, that's what he's called us to do. Being there for people, trying to help people. You find a person in need, you help them, and you do it in the name of the Lord. I heard that several times through the storm, different things. We come in the name of Jesus. That's how the church is to be today. We come in the name of the Lord. What I can't do for you, I promise you the Lord Jesus Christ can. That is how you and I can walk worthy as believers today. How you and I can walk worthy, number one, to our brothers and sisters. Number two, to our Creator. Number three, to our Savior. That's how we walk worthily. Worthy is a big word. And many times, none of the time do I feel worthy. I'll just be honest. And I don't know anybody that would stand up and tell you that they do, just to be honest. But that is what Paul, it's what the Word of God is telling us to do, to walk worthy for and with one another and remembering who we work for, who this walk is for. We walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk as he walked. But it's to help us, and it's to help others. That's what you and I are supposed to do. That's the message this morning, and I hope and pray that it's been a help to you. It's something to ponder on maybe the rest of the day and maybe study on and think about it, ways, things that you can do to help others in the name of Jesus and what he'd have us to do. And I know there's many in our church that have been sick, going through treatments, just getting out of the hospital, mending from surgeries and what have you. And I want us to remember them in prayer today. Let's remember those. And let's go ahead and we'll close out in prayer. And I hope this has been a help to you today. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, Lord. And the option, the ability, God, to meet this way. But God, we just want you to be pleased, and Lord, help us in all the decisions that need to be made about having services or anything like that, all the decisions that need to be made in our church. God, all the decisions that need to be made in our personal lives, God, I just pray that you would lead us and guide us the way that you would have us to respond to those things that are happening around us, God, and those who are in need, and our missionaries, God. Just help us, Lord. Help us to do your will, your way, God, to walk worthy the way you would have us to. God, there's several in our church, God, that's been sick and following coming home from surgeries. God, we remember them this morning. We pray for Brother Dale, God, in his treatment. Sister Betty, as she is thankfully back home from being sick, Lord. And God, we just pray for healing there and to help her. God, we pray for Sister Rebecca, knowing, Lord, that she's been under the weather also and sick. God, we pray for her this morning. God, I just pray for that family, that you lift them up. God, I pray for Sister Jan this morning as she's recovering from her knee surgery. Lord, I've not had that, but I know it has to be a painful thing, God. But we pray for her this morning for healing, for comfort there, and help her family, God, and help us to be a blessing to them, Lord. God, we pray also and thankful for Sister Linda, that she's able to come back home, Lord, a few days ago from being sick and in the hospital. God, we also pray for Sister Linda as she is mending also, Lord, Sister Linda Hodges, Lord, as we know it's hard for her to get around, God, and God, we're just praying for her and Brother Finley, and Lord, just all in our church, God. I want to lift them all up to you. There's so many, God, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but each one, God, that is facing something, Lord, I just pray that you be with them, God. Help us to be a help to them. Cause it to come to our hearts, cause it to come to our minds, and just give us, Lord, what you'd have for us to do, and that we would respond and do that. God, we again pray, Lord, for those that are lost in our church and around us, God. God, Lord, help us to be who you'd have us to be for them, God. We just want to share the gospel with whosoever, God. It's a whosoever gospel. Lord, again, I thank you for all the preachers round about us. Heard good preaching this morning on the radio, Lord. We just thank you for that. And all those who are standing in the gap, we pray for them this morning. Pray for churches, God, and as they seek for pastors and different things that are going on there. Lord, we don't want to leave anybody out, God, but we know you're able, and we know that you know what's going on, God. And I just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, just go with us. Help us, Lord. And God, we just thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening in.